Hallelujah, it's an amazing privilege to be in the presence of the Lord with all of you. And we just had an amazing weekend, incredible time that the Lord has blessed us with. And I would like just all the guys from Stellenbosch and Cape Town, just if you could just stand, all of you guys came through. And we just would really like to honor you just for coming. And yeah, there's no way we can repay you. Just for your obedience, coming, thank you for every hour, thank you for every day that you sacrificed to be with us. Thank you for what you opened up in the Spirit. And we will celebrate with you in heaven one day, see the rewards of what you've accomplished. Thank you for the heart with which you've come, also to learn with us. And I would just like the congregation we can just give them a clap offering, just to honor them. Okay, we really just want to say that you guys are heroes in our eyes. Thank you so much. And we believe the Lord is going to multiply back to you your time and the finances and every sacrifice that you made in coming here. And I was just going through these words. Thanks, you guys can be seated. Last night, we just ended off an amazing day just in the presence of the Lord and just with the Holy Spirit really did an incredible work in our hearts. And I went through the words just this morning that you guys got last night, and everybody who was here as a participant. And I can tell you, I mean, there's stacks here. It's unbelievable. Just the confirmation of what the Lord has been saying to us as we've been praying here. And every word was spot on. And so what we're going to do as a church is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to go up onto the copy there, Northcliffe. What's the street's name, Andres? Just behind you guys, Earn Street, Earn, H, Earn, how do you spell it? H-E-A-R-N, Earn Street, okay, where the water tower is, I think it's the only copy in Joburg, so to speak, and we're going to go up that 7, and we're going to hold all these words that the Lord has given us. We're going to pray that over this beautiful city of ours, and trust the Lord to fulfill His word. We believe we are in a crucial time, where the Lord has placed us and He has called us to. And we are so grateful that the Lord still speaks to us. This evening, my heart is just so filled with gratitude for God, the Holy Spirit, that He's here amongst us and that He hasn't left us to ourselves. And so, Lord, we just want to thank You. Spirit of God, we are so thankful. Say that we love You so much. I thank You that You are Holy Spirit, and yet You dwell with us, and yet You are drawn to us. And Lord, we just come, and as a shepherd, Lord, of this congregation, Lord, I just just stand and we, Lord, receive everything. You came to deposit over this weekend into our hearts, Lord. And everything that you're about to do tonight. We thank you that you are our greatest gift. And we wouldn't want to do this without you. We honor you, Lord. We give you the place of preeminence tonight. And we thank you that you are in our midst. Thank you that we can be in the presence of the King. And we adore you. And we honor you. In Jesus' name. See us. And part of the reason I'm just but overcome this evening was I was just thinking 17 years ago, I see us, we're in our first mission trip together, and it's a bunch of 19-year-olds in Malawi, didn't know too much except the fact that we love the Lord, and we knew that he had called us to go, and here we are again, and here we are still serving him, and the Lord is doing incredible things through the body, and I'm so grateful for the body of Christ, I'm so grateful for friendship, and for the fact the Lord has given us as gifts to each other, so see us. You are a little bit shorter than I am, but I look up to you, and I honor you as my leader. I honor you as my leader, and I honor you as a man that God has placed in authority over us as a congregation. The Lord bless you. We have a little gift for you. Of course, it's edible. Needs to be able to be eaten. Yes, there's biltong in there, some sweets for your kids. Just a small gift, token of our appreciation for you. So let's just put our hands together for the awesome gift the Lord has sent us.
Are you waiting for me or am I waiting for you? Okay, you can leave the stage. Thank you very much. Let's just give the band a round of applause. They're looking good. So everybody, it's great to be here and to just be part of the family and what God has been doing. Why don't you just turn to somebody next to you and say, you are looking so good tonight. And sure, God has been doing amazing stuff over the weekend, and I believe God is going to touch each one of us in a special way tonight. And please be open just to receive from Christ. You know, we can't give anything to you except then just point to Jesus and say, yes, God, and tell you what he's done in our lives. And it's great to be here, great to be part of what God is doing. And I just sense there's a lady here tonight that has been sick for just like cycles in your life that God wants to. Why don't you just everybody close their eyes? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there's a lady here. There's lots of cycles of sickness in your life. And God wants to heal you tonight. He wants to set you free. And he wants to break those cycles. And there are also a couple of people here that are struggling with intense addictions. And it's been coming. There's a man here for the last 13 years. You have been trapped in just that one addiction. And you've been saying to God, God, I'm almost at the end of a road. And you are so desperate. But it just feels like there's much more than just the natural. I want those people, just quickly lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Where's that lady? I want to pray for you specifically. Just show me quickly where you are. There you are. You can lower your hand again. Father, we break the power of infirmity and addiction of your people tonight. And thank you, Jesus, that you came to die to set us free. Thank you, Lord, for your life and your life in abundance. And Lord, tonight, Jesus, we pray that you will heal right now. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your word that does not return void. And Lord, thank you for your word that accomplishes tonight in this place and over our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Those people who raise their hands, I want you just to keep your hands raised, but to God, not here, naturally, because he's seen you and he is going to heal you, even not at the end of the sermon, but he started to heal you right now. Just open up your hearts for him. You know, the other day, I was thinking today, sometimes God sets you up for these moments in your life And then he uses that, but it's not always like you enjoy it. And I was talking to Kulain. Hello, Joe. Yes, Joe and I always laugh together because I always make him laugh. I do these stupid things in the trains up in Ireland and all that stuff. But it's amazing. One day I was driving with these pastors in Nepal, and I decided, well, very simply, that I'm not going to eat their local thing. I'm going to eat the fish. So I was the only one eating the fish. But the problem was there was something wrong with the fish. So now we're driving up here in the mountains. And I'm trying to pretend it's like you're really like not trying to be nice and all that stuff. And as we're driving up in these mountains, the guy hasn't got his lights on. And it's like just fumes and all stuff all over the place. So I'm getting gnar, you know. What's that in English? Nauseous, whatever, all that stuff, you know. And so at a stage, I'm beginning to calculate as to, at least I'm sitting at the window. So I am just like thinking, here we go, you know. You know when you're like sick at a time and you just realize, I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think. I don't care what's going to happen, you know. But now with all these like important people, you know, and I'm just thinking, okay, here we go. You minister. It's that scripture that comes to mind. Deep calls unto deep, you know. Now, these pastors in Nepal, they are very small people, you know. They walk the mountains up there, all that stuff, you know. And this one pastor has got a great sense of humor, but it sort of backfired on me the day because now I have just deposited my deposit outside of the window. The problem is just everything didn't go outside of the window, but some went sticked against the window on that side, you know. So now it's sort of just like portraying itself as a mirror image on this side of the window. And it's running down this, and this little pastor goes and he points with his finger and he says, oh, there's the fish you ate today. You know, there's the fish going. And that was the end of the story. You know, then I couldn't even get my direction straight. It went all over the place, you know, all just like, yeah. And it's amazing when in those moments, you know, and you're just like, how many of you have had a, don't show us, but you know, I don't know why I'm sharing this story, but it's just very simple. You know, God uses, and it's amazing that moment. About 2 years later, a pastor actually said to me, but that moment when I threw up over him changed his life forever. I was thinking, okay, was it not an anointed vomit or whatever, but in any case, but just because of the way that the people sort of handled the situation and the way they could see that it was just amazing when Christians come together and we pursue God's heart and we reflect who Jesus is. Then God can use even your own kids to speak into your life. Now, I'm going to speak tonight a little bit on the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, this city is known as a city of gold, lots of riches. But when you come from the outside a little bit, you drive in the streets and you see lots of things and you realize that lots of people are trapped by a worldview and a way of thinking and things that drive them that is sometimes not motivated by the Holy Spirit. And even Christians, you know, we all sometimes worship God in a way, but sometimes it's a cultural worship. Sometimes it's not the true Jesus, if we're really honest. So we had the privilege to go to Pakistan and to preach there, and it's amazing. You know, when you drive, people don't have offenses against each other and unforgiveness in their hearts, you know, the Christians there, because they die every second or third day. There are people dying because of their faith. You know, so even driving there sometimes in the roads when we were there, it's amazing, you know, the honesty and the purity in your heart when you know that you can die any moment. Then you don't pretend. You sort of just pray and say, Lord, I feel I want to die. You just pray it out loud, you know. And there's one moment we were driving here down the road and we sort of had a rule. If ever you're going to feel you're going to die, just confess, you know. And all five of us in the car were confessing at the same time. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Jesus, help me. But then the problem was the pastor there, he confessed something more than that. He said, I didn't tell you all the details about the place that we had an outreach tonight, but it was the place where the second in charge of Al-Qaeda died about 6 months ago. The Americans killed him there. And so it's like a bit of a stronghold of Al-Qaeda. So I didn't tell it to you before the time. So the chances that we are going to die here is much, much bigger than normal. You know? That's just a confession I want to bring before God. Then you should have heard the confession. Just like, Lord, save me, you know. But you know, when you reach out to God, when you cry out to Jesus, it's not like, Jesus, little Jesus, gentle Jesus, would you please consider to to think about me in this moment of my near-death experience and these people wanting to come and kill me, would you please think about me that maybe I will be on your list somewhere? I don't want to interrupt your busy schedule, but Jesus, I'm number 37 or 38 probably, but just think about me in these moments of panic and distress. Now you say, Jesus, help me! Have you read that in scripture, you know, of the people sitting in the trees and people going out, just reaching out to Christ. And I want to start with this scripture. It's here in Ephesians 3. Paul writes this, and I love this. You know, the guy who wrote the most of the New Testament writes to the people in Ephesus, and then he writes this. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, tonight, I'm not going to give you a fancy sermon. I'm not somebody that preaches to people's heads. But tonight, I'm going to speak about a man that came to the earth, and he walked on the earth. And I don't know if you've been in Israel. It's a very small place, probably about the size of the Western Cape. A man that came to a small area, and for 30 years, he made some wooden furniture. For 30 years, he walked around in the backside, knowing of life and of seeing all these things. Probably didn't say a lot of things, just made furniture. And then at a specific day, when he read Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when he was 30 years of age, was obviously the first time that Jews were allowed to read scripture when you came into the temple. He was waiting for 30 years to read a little scripture. And now it was his first time to read a little scripture. And everybody was waiting for that moment. Everybody seemed he was like an ordinary man. And then this book came around, and then it was his time to read the scripture. And then it was found in Luke 4, verse 8, and it says, I have been anointed to preach the good news. I have been anointed to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I have come to declare the year of Jubilee, the year where after 50 years, everything would return back to its original owner and all the slaves would be set free. It was no chance that at that specific day, he read that specific scripture, and then he closed that book and he stood up and then he started to do what he just read. I want to talk to you about a man who brought my life out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to talk to you about a man that sometimes we are so busy, even in the church, about things around this man, but we are afraid to look him in the eyes. Because if you read the book of Revelation, this man, scripture says every time, has got fire in his eyes. Fire. Now, it's when I look into somebody's eyes, I can tell you a lot about that person. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation and then people like, they sort of look at you and they're always like, and you're sharing your heart, and then this person is like, hello, hello, you know, and then you think like, whoa, I'm talking to you. And that's why cell phones is from the devil sometimes, you know. we must get rid of this bad culture. You're busy sharing your heart and you're like a coffee date with somebody, you're sharing, building relationship with somebody, then the cell phone goes off, then somebody takes the cell phone, jumps off, oops, there goes with the conversation, and then you sit there, you think like, somebody just interrupted our conversation, and now we've got like bad manners just to like walk off, you know, there we go. But we live in such a society where we sometimes forget to look people in the eye and tell them what is meaningful and what is important. But you know, Jesus took all the time. Oh, and he loved the prostitutes, and he loved the sinners, and he loved those who felt so unworthy. And those people felt so comfortable with him. They felt so comfortable being around him. And then the thing is, he went to the University of Jerusalem, and there he chose people that would change the rest of the world. He chose the best engineers because he had to build buildings. He chose the best artists because he had to like really do great graphics. to show the world that, you know, they need him. And then he went, you know, to all the agricultures, because he had to get food for all of the world. He had to make lots of food for all of them. So he chose 12 of the most holy, sophisticated, the Einsteins of this world to change the world. Whoa. And he really took like 3 years to choose them. But no, that's not what he did. He chose a couple of people that didn't, if you come from the Western Cape, you know, didn't have front teeth. They speak like that, you know. And probably know a couple of more swear words than you've ever heard in your word, yeah? Just here at the backside of nowhere out of Galilee. Some people that would be so afraid, you know, the day when the storm comes and they go to the other side. Those people have never been to the other side of the sea, you know. And he tried to teach them certain things, and he walked the road with them, and he changed them. And those 12 people, 11 of them, changed the world. Scripture says later when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they went around, and within 2 years, they preached the word of God to every house in Asia Minor. Massive, massive areas. And they didn't have Boeings. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have anything of that. They just had a passion in their heart of meeting with this man that I'm talking about tonight. And it's the most amazing when you and I begin to understand that, you know, people and societies and communities have tried to wipe away this man, tried to break off his reputation, come against him for years. But you know what? His word will remain. And it will stand, and that word will judge every person one day. And one day every person that has ever lived will stand before that man and need to give an account of their lives because of the claims that he made. Because he was the only one that could claim what he claimed. But therefore, he also has certain claims on your life and my life based on what he did on a piece of tree. He hanged there. So I'm going to look at some of these claims that he had. Just very simple. But before that, let's go to Colossians 1:27. Check somebody next to you and say, God can use anyone. Okay. The other day was last year. It's amazing when sometimes as a Christian, we live and we sort of procrastinate a little bit, or we live in intention land. Would you agree with me? Sometimes, you know, procrastination, when it's almost like a swear word sometimes, you know, we're like, oh, don't talk to me about procrastination. Or we have these intentions that we are actually good and we are actually doing something for God that's significant, or we, you know. And so last year, I was around about October, I sort of started thinking, okay, maybe, and it, you know, it's a very subtle thing that sometimes creep into your life. You don't even know it until God takes an opportunity to start to zoom in, you know, and he starts to say, there's a blind spot, you know. So yeah, I started to think, and one of my friends said to me, no, you know, you must start to invest in Krugerrands because the gold price is going to go like up there. So now I'm not sharing anything with anybody, but for 2 weeks, I'm beginning to think about Krugerrands and like investment and thinking, yeah, obviously, you know, you must really, really just be a good steward and you must invest all of these things. But now there comes a point where those things become a little bit of an obsession in your life. You sort of start to think of them. Paul wrote about it and he says certain things are thoughts, but if you don't, you know, stop those thoughts, it becomes arguments, it becomes high things, and in the end, it becomes a stronghold in your life. That thing begins to occupy your mind and your whole existence. Now, it wasn't a stronghold, but I started to think about this all the time. I was thinking, okay, let's go check on the internet and all of that stuff. And now I'm sort of just getting God out of the equation, because I'm not asking him. I'm sort of just pretending and I'm ignoring that, you know, and I'm just thinking, well, it's just a good thing, because a principle of stewardship and of investing for your children's children, scripture says that is great, you know. So here I go, and I'm starting to think about this stuff, and for 2 weeks. And then one night I had like Bible reading with my kids. I've got three kids, and the eldest one. And so I haven't spoken to anybody, not even my wife, about it. So here we go on. And then suddenly I said to the eldest one, Elise, you pray first. Now I'm thinking about this stuff now all day long. And now Elise prays like this. She says, thank you, Lord, that we never need to put our trust in Kruger Rands. Amen. And I'm like shocked. I'm thinking, what did you just pray? And she said, Kruger Rands. I said, but now, where did you hear of Kruger Rands? She said, no, it was just like a thought, an idea that popped into her head. She's never heard of it, but she's got this word that she must pray this prayer. So I go back to my room. Oh, God, please forgive me. But it's like amazing. Some stuff in our hearts that become like idols, you know. And it becomes so quickly that we replace certain things or stuff that we rely on. We just say to God, God, sort of just stand outside the door. But I'm going to be busy here. So I'm going to just let you in by occasion so that you can come and do your little thing in my life. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But Jesus made very specific claims, you know. And it's amazing what reflects in your heart, what goes on your heart. I told the story yesterday, but I want to just tell it again. The other day, I shared it another place as well. But, you know, when Louise and I, my wife, when we just got married, she made this beautiful spread of food. And there was like broccoli as part of this plate of beautiful, amazing food. And broccoli is not something that I think you should eat, you know. I don't know if you've seen that. I always joke. I said, when it's on the plate, did you know that it grows? That thing, broccoli, becomes bigger. That's why you have to kill it first. You have to eat that first, you know, because it's just like, you know, it's just like, it just grows like that, you know. So, yeah, she presenting this beautiful plate of broccoli and all this other nice stuff. I look at the broccoli and I say to her, don't ever think I'm going to eat that. And then there was like the silence, you know. And I realized that's the wrong words to say to your wife, you know. So I got the stare. I got the like, you shall eat it, you know, without any words being said, you know. And I looked at the broccoli and I realized, okay, we're in trouble, you know. 2 days later, after a whole reconciliation and all that stuff, we were loving each other again, but, you know. And 12 years later, with my youngest one, Josh, we were sitting one day. And since then, when we got kids, I learned to eat all that broccoli. I eat broccoli that it comes out of my ears just for the kids' sake. When they've left the home, I will stop eating broccoli. I just know that, you know. Some things you just have to do. But so now, last year, Josh sits there at the table and we get served broccoli again. And then he gets this frown on his head, you know. He takes the broccoli and he throws his sister with the broccoli. And he says, don't think I'm ever going to eat that, you know. And then I realize, oh, you know, like father, like son, yeah. And I don't know where it came from, you know, but I didn't teach him that, you know, hate broccoli, you know, but it just comes, some things just come, when it's in the heart, it just comes naturally. Did you know that, yeah? And even when we pass certain things like that down in our DNA, whatever you want to call it, to our kids, do you know there's a place where God wants to give us his identity? Where we as Christians and people passing through are not part of this world. We are not in this world and we are not of this world. We are just passing through. And my challenge to each one of us is really, are you allowing God to lay the claim, the claims that he has of who he said he was? Are you part of that in your life and in my life? Now let's go look quickly at what Jesus claimed. Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Again, that word, riches. Scripture talks about there's a certain wealth, a certain measurement that's immeasurable in worldly terms. There's certain Christian stuff that God has given us, certain things. And here it says, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, look here, this is a mystery. It's something that you cannot explain. It's something that you cannot figure out in your mind. But is that this Almighty God has decided to make his dwelling place in your heart. That he comes to live inside of you. He says it's a mysterious thing. It's a glorious thing. But it's something that you cannot try to explain. And you cannot put value, especially monetary worth or value on it. And Jesus said certain things. And I want to go through this quickly. Let's go through it. John 8:51. Jesus came And he said, I am. Did you know how powerful that is? Imagine you walk up to somebody in the street and he says to you, who are you? And you say, I am. Excuse me? I am. Now, if, you know, and God said it in the Old Testament as well. He said, just, I am. That's where God starts. He says, there's not enough words in your and my vocabulary to tell and put a certain name or a word that can describe God in full. Did you know that? That's the riches. That's the mystery. That is the unsearchable. He says, you can go all over the world. You can try to figure out. I can try with my little brain to figure out who this glorious Christ is. But you know what? It's not a chance. If God would manifest himself 100% in the way that we is tonight in this place, we would all die. Because your and my physical body cannot contain the presence and the glory of God. And that's why you could see it sometimes in Jesus' life. There were sort of divine moments. One of them was after the Garden of Gethsemane. When these soldiers came up and they came to look for him, Jesus sweated blood and he walked out. And then the people said, you know, are you the Jesus? Are you the one we must arrest? And then he said again, I am he. Go and read the scriptures. It says that a whole garrison of soldiers fell down backwards. They got slain. Kadwa. Yeah? They fell down because of the glory of God. There were some moments on the Mount of Transfiguration where Moses and Elijah, which represented the prophets and the law, just said, look here, don't go there. Yeah? But God the Father spoke. You know, God the Father spoke three times audibly to Jesus. The first time he spoke straight to Jesus and he said, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Before Jesus did anything. And the second time was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he said to the disciples and the Moses and the prophets and everybody around, he said, this is my son, listen to him. Hear the messages that he has, confirming his calling, confirming his purpose. But Jesus was not insecure in who he was. He said, I am. Then he made some other claims. He said, I am the bread of life. Like the manna in the Old Testament, he says, I am the bread of life. Like you need food, like I need food every day. You cannot go without him on a daily basis. You cannot rely on yesterday's manna. You cannot rely on 3 weeks ago's food. Did you know that? You must eat today. Talks about that place of intimacy, that place of looking to Christ, getting from Christ what only he can give to you. The church cannot give it to you. Your friends cannot give it to you. You have to look Jesus in the eyes every day and you have to get fresh bread from him. But he stood up and he said, I am that bread of life. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he said, I am the light of the world in John 8 verse 12. You know, it was an amazing point. They were standing on top of Jerusalem, looking out over Jerusalem. And then there's a specific time when at the Feast of Lights, they would lit all the candles in the whole of Jerusalem. That there would be no, sort of symbolically, that there would be a time when there would be no more darkness. And at that moment, when the whole of Jerusalem lit their lights at this specific Feast of Tabernacles, or what they call the Feast of Lights, Jesus stands up and he makes this proclamation. He says, I am the light of the world. And you know what? If there's light in this room tonight, there's no room and place for darkness. If Jesus walks into your life and my life, there cannot be darkness anymore. Hello. You're very quiet. But you know, this is amazing. If he walks into your life, if I switch on this light, the darkness flees. I need to go and look for the darkness. It's hiding. It's hiding. Ooh. It's not there anymore. The darkness is, I almost messed up the whole thing. But there's no room for darkness when the light comes in. And I've got a problem with people continuing and continuing and continuing. And 30 years later say, no, Jesus is not enough. Jesus cannot do. Well, then I want to say, maybe you're just worshiping a cultural Jesus. Because if the true Jesus walks into your life and he walks into my life, darkness flees. Darkness please. Oh, I almost pressed this now to go on to the next slide. Okay. Then he said in John 10, a little bit later, he said, I am the door. He says, you cannot, there's no other way. I am the door. I'm the one you must come in. There's some people that are hirelings. There are lots of different people saying lots of things. But Jesus is the door. Then he said, I'm the good shepherd. The one who lays down his life for the sheep. And the shepherd was a very simple thing in those times. It wasn't like we have these dogs that drive the sheep and just then they run into it. You know, sheep are very, very dumb animals. It was not a compliment when Jesus said, we are sheep. You sheepy. You know, when somebody says, you sheepy. I grew up on a sheep farm. It is not sheep. Like they would go into this little green pastures, like lucerne. They would eat that for a moment and then they would overeat themselves. And they would all die. So you have to like put them in there, let them eat for an hour, then you have to bring them out, you know? It's like some people at Christmas, yeah. But it's amazing, you know. they would just roll over and literally die because they just overate themselves. They can't think about anything else, you know. And then there'll be like a gate. There'll be an open gate and there'll be like the fences on this side, and then you will try to get them through the gate and they won't go through the gate. They'll always get into the fence. It is amazing. And they run around in circles and they're like, no, everybody, you know. It's just like amazing. So sheep isn't like, Jesus didn't say, oh, you beautiful, wonderful, intellectual sheep, you know. But the amazing thing is, sheep is a bit different than goats because goats destroy everything. They pluck out the grass as they eat it, you know. They just destroy the land. And sheep don't bite. Goats bite. That's why sometimes I wonder in church, oh my chona, there's some goats in the church. Because everybody's always like speaking negative about other people and they bite each other. Okay? But in any case, that's just on the side. That's for free. But but the amazing thing is the shepherd would, all the sheep, shepherds would sleep together in this little place up on the hill that brought all their sheep together. There would be like a little wall around the sheep and all of them would sleep in that little door or that little gate. And then the next morning, all the shepherds would stand up and they would just begin to walk in directions. And they'd begin to speak out loudly. And then the sheep would just automatically get themselves in different groups and they'd start to follow the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. They trust the shepherd. It's not a chasing fear motivation. Be angry. Just go and do stuff. Just simply come and follow me because you know I'm the good shepherd. I'm not the nasty shepherd that wants to eat the meat. No, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus made these claims. And did you know what? Have you realized that Jesus didn't beg anybody anytime to do anything? Jesus just came to proclaim. That's why I said in that Luke 4 verse 18, he said, I have come to proclaim the good news. You know, when the rich young ruler came to him and walked up to him, he didn't say, well, when the rich young ruler said, I'm not going to sell all my stuff and give it to the poor. And there, the rich young ruler went off and then Jesus ran, tackled him, did a rugby tackle there and said to him, Jesus said, rich young ruler, okay, I know this is too hard for you, but would you just please consider rather doing a debit order system for the next 10 years until you feel better, until you grow into this thing of giving everything away and let's negotiate. Please don't leave because your life is at stake. No, Jesus never did that because, you know, he cannot. He doesn't beg. He comes to proclaim. He comes to walk. He comes to knock. And then he waits for a response. And that's what's beautiful about these sayings and the stuff that he said. He just came to proclaim. He said, I am the door. He didn't say, I come to proclaim or try to show myself. And he very, that's just who he was. Cannot change. Let's go on quickly. Number 5. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I love this one, you know. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That word for life is the Zoe life, the super abundant life. It's not a life absent of trouble. It's just the life in God. It's a life of who he is. He says, no, I've not come here to give you 10 steps to life. I've not come here in the next one, the way, the truth, and the life. Again, he said it. I'm not here because I want you to have a little joy ride and I want to sort of get you to a certain point. No, I want you to drive on me. I want you to know that I am the way. I am the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a doctrine. Did you know that? The truth is found in somebody's eyes that you look constantly. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you see him for who he is, he will change your life completely. Hello, shake somebody next to you and say, you're still looking good. Okay, just the last one, and then we're going to start to pray for people. And then the last one, he said, I am the true vine, the center of godly living. He said, if you're not connected in me daily, drawing from me, daily understanding who I am, that my life is in you, if the branch is not into the vine, it will die. Completely dependent. Completely looking as the source of life. He says, I am the true vine. And you know, if we understand scripture, if we understand God, then it seems like these things are so simple. It seems like, oh, okay, just like, you know, Jesus, couldn't you just make it a little bit? But the gospel is for me so amazing that a little four-year-old can understand it and a 40-year-old and an 80-year-old. Did you know that? The gospel is accessible to every person, every race, every culture. The other day, my little son, who is 4 years old, we walked in the shop. And then he says, I said it in Afrikaans, ek verlang na Jesus. It's I long for Jesus. Ek verlang na Jesus, wat hy gesê. I long for Jesus. I want to go to heaven, he said. And I just said, no, it's not your time now. You know? And I said, but why? He said, no, because I just know Jesus is an amazing person. So I'm standing there, but this is now in the row with all the people standing there, and he's busy preaching his first sermon. I'm just thinking, bring it on, preacher. Yeah? It's amazing how you just always want your son to be the best, you know, and all that stuff. But I was so shocked, you know, about just the revelation. Do you know when people are the most spiritual? When they're 3 years old. People are most open. The other night, we had quite a challenging experience because people did astral projection into our house. I don't know if you know that. Sometimes you're going to think it's not right, but that's up to you to decide. But it's basically where people that do witchcraft, they send through spirits stuff to come and visit you. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I started to pray because I realized there's something not right. Something is not lacking. And then the Lord showed me and he said to me, no, but there's something, some people that are doing stuff against us as a family and against our home. So I was just praying, stood up and I was praying. I said, okay, God, I know what's going on, but all I know is Shandai, 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 Shandai. You know, here we go, you know, going to emergency tongues. So as I was praying, and in the next moment, Josh was running from the other room and he came to stand right in the room. He says, Daddy, there's a man outside in the garden, a big dark man, black man. He's dark and he's got a black cat in his hand and he's trying to come into the house. And he's trying to come through my window. But won't you just come and chase him away? He's there. You know? So I realized, okay, so now we go and I say, okay, you pray. Now it's a 4 year old. You pray the prayer of faith. He says, be gone. He didn't even use the name of Jesus. You know? So, yeah, sort of just on the side, you know, there he goes. And I was just amazed, you know, about how God can use like little children. I told the story yesterday of a 9-year-old. There was a satanic witch that lived in PE. His name was Neville. And he would do his curses on all the Christians and all the pastors. And this 9-year-old, one day they came out of the shopping mall and this 9-year-old just walked up to him and pointed his finger at him and said, I know your type, Ekenyo Swet. And he just fell to the ground and he started to weep because of the presence of God. He broke down, repented of his sins. The 9-year-old just turned around and walked away. He was lying there, he said, for about 2 hours in the parking lot, just overwhelmed by the presence of God, overwhelmed by God's fullness manifesting. And he came to repentance and he became a Christian. Yeah, and it's amazing when you connect with this God. It's amazing when you look at this Jesus and you start to, you know, just think about who he was and what he came to represent. He wasn't just an ordinary man. He came to be a revolutionary. He came to do radical things that to today, the greatest movement on the face of the earth are people still following this Christ. He's not an ordinary God. He's different from any other religion in the fact that all other religions says you must do something to try and get to a God. You know that in Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, all these religions, you have to do something. And not even in Islam are you assured of the fact that you can go to heaven. Because maybe the God is not going to allow you. Except if you're like a suicide bomber. But in most of these religions, everything is about man's desire, man's opinion, man's way, and through man's fear to get to a God. Except the true Christian religion about God coming to choose you and I. Coming to make a proclamation and saying, hey, here I am. Let me read you just, let's just look at some of the names that Scripture gives this Jesus. I want to just run through it. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty God. He is wonderful. He's our Counselor. He's our Sanctifier. He's the Root of David. He's the Word of Life. He's our Advocate. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Great Physician. He's the Author and the Finisher of our faith. He is the Ancient of Days. He's our Day Star or Morning Star. He's the Lord of all. He's the Son of God. He's the Gift of God. He's the Living Stone. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He's the Shepherd and the Overseer of our souls. He's the King of Kings. He's the Righteous Judge. He's the Light of the World. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's our Restorer. He's the Head of the Church. He's the Bright Morning Star. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's our Governor. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's our Deliverer. He's the our Burden Bearer. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Rock of Offense. He's the Hope of Glory. He's the Hidden Treasure. He's the Root of Jesse. He's the Resurrection and the Life. He's our City of Refuge. He's our Strong Tower. He's the Faithful Witness. He's our Prince of Life. He's the Messiah. He's the Mind of God. He's our Chief Shepherd. He's the Horn of our Salvation. He's the Alpha and Omega. And then I love this one. He's the Amen. He's just like the first and the last. Whoa. Now, I want to end with this scripture in Revelation chapter 3, one that we all know. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So we can talk about vomit in church, okay? It's in scripture. But it says, God says, look here, there's one thing I cannot stand. Rather, just choose which way you want to go. Choose how you want to serve this Christ. Because he only understands one way, and that is 100% wholeheartedly. That is no strings attached, just where he becomes the Lord of all. That word for Lord is the word kurios, which means he's your master, he's your owner, he possesses you. You know, and if you and I say today, Jesus, you are my Lord. You know, same with those little disciples that walked. The first time Jesus called them, he called them twice. The first time, he just walked around and said, you follow me, you follow me. And they thought, wow, this is great. Let's just follow him. And the second time was when Peter had to catch that fish and he couldn't catch anything. In the area where he was the strongest. In the area where he knew how to catch fish. And then Jesus said, I want to teach you a lesson in that area where you think you're in control. Whole night of not catching fish. Then he says, throw out the net. And he throws out the net. And then they catch this massive heap of fish. Bring it out to the shore. And then Peter falls to the ground. And then he says, Lord, first time he mentioned Jesus as Lord. Lord, depart from me because I am a sinful man. And then Jesus looks at him, those beautiful eyes. Looks at him, he says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And then he walks away. But then it's not so easy because there's a massive heap of fish there. And if I was a good entrepreneur, I would send two of the disciples to Jesus, say, Jesus, just wait there for 5 minutes, because I'm just going to arrange for all of this fish to be sold so that we can fund your ministry for the next 10 years. But just wait, Jesus, you're walking too fast. What are we going to do with all of these fish? And then Jesus just smiles and he says, you choose. You can either stay with the fish, or you can go to the source of the one who provides the fish. And he just walks. And that's the amazing thing, because he's so secure in who he is. He doesn't need to explain himself. And Christians, stop trying to explain God. Stop trying to make excuses for who Jesus is. Just allow him to be Jesus in your life. And you know what? You're going to see how he manifests himself through you. But you know, Jesus walks on and he says, come follow me. And then you have to make a decision. Fish or Jesus? Fish or Jesus? And that's what he says. And that he says, because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and have white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Whoa. Scripture says, don't say you're rich. Don't say you are great and you have revived. Scripture says, just realize you are naked and ashamed, rich and poor. And then when you come to me, come and buy from me with money that you don't have. Come and exchange, because I want to give you something. I want to show you who I am. And then when you put on Christ, then when Christ begins to live in you and through you, the hope of glory, the mystery of the ages, you begin to dig into an unsearchable riches of not just a birthright and an inheritance, but of tasting of his glory in your life, of his presence in your life. And I want to say to you, that is the most valuable thing in your life, is the fact that God speaks to you. His voice, his presence in your life. There's nothing on this earth, no friendship, no marriage, no children, no nothing. And Jesus said it. Well, if you're not going to hate even your family, when it comes to comparing to putting me number one, you're going to have no part in me. He says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, just stay away. Hard words, but because of his love, because of his claim on your life, because of his claim on my life. In Revelation 3, a little bit later, he says, I stand. And then he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you would hear my voice, I would open up. And open up, I would come in and I would feast with you. That is in the context of this scripture. Writing to Christians. Because so many Christians are today, and especially in the West, we are not allowing Jesus to come into our door. He's standing outside. And you know what? Even tonight, he wants to come in. And he wants to sit at the table. And there you can throw your broccoli. And there you can go wild. And you can do all of that stuff. Because that there's a place for you at the table. But you have to let him come to sit at the head of the table, where he's number one. And you know this, Jesus, what I love about him is he would wash people's feet. He would clothe them. He would give them food. He would multiply the little fish and the bread. He would take what a little boy has. And don't tell me there were no mothers in that 4,000 people, you know, that brought food for their kids. I think there were lots of food there. But there was one little boy that was willing to give his fish and his bread, because he realized if he gives it in the hand of this Jesus, things can happen. Things are going to change. And I want to challenge us tonight, because I don't know what's standing between you and this Christ, but I want to say to you, he's real. And he's coming in ways that the church is sometimes going to be challenged with. Because you're going to need to find that Jesus in the middle of an earthquake. You're going to need to find that Jesus in the middle of a storm, because our world is about to shake. Our world is about to go wild. Things are going to get crazy around us. But when you know the Emmanuel, the God with us, the hope of glory, the mystery, the one who lives inside of you, you're never going to be afraid. You're never going to be lonely. You're never going to grab onto worldly things, because he's your source and he's your life. He's your beginning and he's your end. He's my best friend. Did you know that? He's my best friend. I love him so much. There's not one of you in this room that remotely compares to what this friend of mine has done in my life. There's not one of you. You can give me everything you have. You can tell me all the great stories in your life. I will not exchange it for one thing, and I will not deny, because I know what is that is real to me. For some of you, he's also real. But let's never forget it. That every day, every day, he's a jealous God. He's looking at you and he says, come, dig a bit deeper. There's more. And one day, I always say this, in heaven, we're going to stand like this for the first 1,000,000 years. Praise God, no flies and no mosquitoes in heaven. Josh asked me the other day, did God really make flies? I said, yes. And then after 5 minutes of silence, he screamed out of the room again. Why did God make flies? I couldn't answer him. We'll get that answer one day in heaven. Amen. I don't know. But it's amazing, you know. God created everything. And there's so much, you know. We think we're so intellectual. We're so great. We haven't even gone to the depth of the sea. There's areas in our world that we have not been to as humans. Did you know that? With all our massive technology and all our satellites and all of our stuff, we can't even get to the bottom of the sea. What about getting out of our galaxy? And then we think we've arrived. We are somebody. Jesus says there, you're miserable. You're poor. You're naked. Come to me. I want to clothe you. I want to put those eye salve on your little eyes so that you can see who I am. But you have to come and buy. You have to come and exchange. We're going to do something tonight that maybe challenge you a little bit. We're going to do it, and we're going to trust God that something is going to unlock in your heart. And we've come here from Stellenbosch to serve you, not to preach at you anything. We're going to trust that something is going to happen in your heart when that happens, because one day Jesus came into a little room before he died, and then he walked up to people, to Peter and these guys, and he says, Peter, what I'm going to do now, you're not going to understand. But I want to set you free. I want to do something in your life that you're going to understand that you're not walking in this world by chance, and you cannot have your feet planted in this world. You have to have your feet planted in heaven, because you're just a pilgrim passing through. And we're going to wash your feet tonight, and we're going to trust God that he's going to release something in your heart that is going to change your life. And it's going to bring you to the place where you realize one day Jesus sat with his disciples just like we are sitting tonight. And we're going to trust God that you're going to begin to walk on that road. And you're going to begin to follow him. But it's going to be a scary road, because he's going to make certain claims on your life where you're going to need to deny yourself. Because the greatest problem in the Church of the West is very simply just self-worship. Self-worship. It's not the sin. The sin is just the result. The adultery and the pornography and all of that stuff. I believe it with all of my heart. For us in the West, it's just the worship of self. Get a greater self-image. 10 ways how to be better and have a greater nose. Yeah? Yeah. Have you seen today they're doing like operations to make people's stomachs like small, like an egg, so that you don't eat more. And then you spend thousands of dollars on that in America. And I think, where did the human race go to? We are crazy. We are miserable and we are poor. We need God. And still we think we're like these sophisticated beings that has evolved over millions of years. No, my Khona. You know? Sometimes I think the apes are more clever than the human race, you know? Because at least they run when the lightning strikes, you know? We try to like say, no, there's no God. That's a joke, people. That's a joke, okay? But you know what? There's some people here, and all we're going to do tonight, when we start, I want the band to come up, is we're going to pray that Jesus would reveal himself to you in a special way, and that he would show himself to you in a very special way. But you're going to need to open up your heart. You're going to need to say to him, okay, God, I want you to be that door in my life. I want you to be the resurrection in the life. Lord, I want you to be my healer. I want you to be my bright morning star, because God, I'm struggling. There are 4 people here that are struggling with intense depression. And you have been cycles. You're on medication at the moment. And there's just like heaviness over you. And there's lots of stuff. There's especially a lady here that lost, What's today? Sunday. Thursday evening, you dreamt a dream about these things coming against you, just like wave upon wave. And then you would occasionally, like once every 3 months, you would dream these dreams of just stuff coming to attack you and stuff. And then you would break out in a sweat like you did on Thursday night. And do you know what? That Jesus, he wants to come and shine that light right into that area. He wants to come and set you free. He wants to say when you're with him, you don't need to panic. You don't need to fear. You don't need to doubt. You can just take his hand and follow him. Will you just close your eyes quickly? I want those four people. I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand quickly. I want to pray for you. Don't be shy while nobody's looking around. I want to pray for those people specifically. Those four people. Just lift your hand quickly. One. Thank you. Where's the other people? Once you've lifted it, you can lower it again. Two. Thank you. Where's the other two people? Lord showed me specifically four people here tonight that he's going to just start to minister to you. He's going to start to break. Where are those other people? Just quickly. Don't. There's a massive war going on. I want other people to pray. So God is going to just set you free. Where are you? Thank you. There's the third one. There's the fourth one. Lord, I pray right now, even as we start to minister and as we start to come together. Lord, these heavy clouds. Where's the lady with the dreams? I want you to show me quickly. Is that you with the dreams? Okay. Last Thursday night? Okay, this one that just passed. Yeah. Okay. Now, do you know God knows your number? There's not a chance in this world that I can take a chance. All eyes closed. There's not a chance because I'm speaking here to somebody specifically. God wants to take our time. There's not a chance that I could have known that. But the Holy Spirit is true. And he's going to set you free tonight because he loves you so much. That dreams are stopping right now tonight. Comes every 2-3 months. And then it feels like, whoa, it just builds you up. Just close your eyes. Open up your hands just to Jesus. Jesus, thank you right now just for your release of life. Lord, we say those dreams stop, those anxieties stop, the heaviness stop in Jesus' name. And right now we just release, Lord, waves of your glory and of your grace over her. Waves of your light. Lord, let your light come, Lord. Lord, and you've called her to be an intercessor. You've called her, Lord, to stand in the gap, Lord. But Lord, there's been so many voices that are coming against her. So many stuff, Lord, that's been saying, Lord, and even people in her life, Lord, that has just come, Lord, to break her down, Lord, from when she was like 7 years old and 8 years old, Lord, and all the cycles, Lord. But tonight, Lord, tonight is a Damascus Road experience for her, Father, because you're going to break the yokes, Lord, and you're going to supernaturally do it. She's been crying out to you. She loves you, God. She's got such a heart towards you, Lord. But tonight we want to thank you, God, that she can just reach out to you, Lord. And Jesus, we just pray that you overwhelm her, Lord, with your presence. Overwhelm her with your visitation. Overwhelm her, Lord, with your angels. Send your angels just wave upon wave of your glory. Lord, and I just pray for those dreams, Lord, of light just shining, Lord, and the waves of your fullness over her. Lord, these other people with that struggling with this depression, we just thank you, Lord, for a lifting of the veils. We thank you, Lord, for a lifting of the veils. There's also some people here tonight, you are so struggling to hear the voice of God. You just desire to read it, but it feels to you like you're always praying against the wall, always against the ceiling. It's just like a massive struggle and you try so hard, but in your mind there are so many distractions. I want you to lift your hand quickly. We're going to pray for you. Father, I want people, I want that maybe, I don't want to embarrass you, but we want to just pray for you that God will release his voice over you. I want you to stand. I want those people from Stellenbosch just to quickly come in. We're going to just lay our hands on you. Then there's also some people here that need healing tonight. You need physical healing. There's a person here that has been struggling with leg injuries and just leg pains. I don't know if it's in your knee, in your right knee, all over. There's just massive swollen legs and massive pain. Where are you? We want to pray for you specifically as well. Is that you? Why don't you come and stand here in front? We want to pray for you. There's some more people standing. If there's nobody next to you that can pray for you, I want you just to lift your hand. There's also somebody there, I think it's three people actually, that have got intense migraines. You get like right here, there's somebody in the front of their head and there's one person at the back of their head. You're just like, one is on medication, but I don't know about the other two people, but God wants to heal you from those migraines. And it's just like intense. Where are you? We want to pray for you. Why don't you just stand? There's somebody here. Maybe there's three people specifically. Just there's somebody in front. Anybody else that they want to pray for that? There's also somebody here that has got heart problems. I don't know if you all need to go to into operation or if you already had an operation, but the Lord wants to heal you. You're a bit afraid that you're going to die. Where's that person? We want to pray for you. That Jesus will just touch you in a special way. And I want these people, as we're beginning to pray for people, that you are, okay, why don't you just come and pray here with this man. And all I want you to pray right now, we're not going to pray fancy prayers because that's not what this life is about. We're going to just pray that Jesus will come to manifest himself to these people. Lord, thank you just for showing yourself to them, opening up the eyes of their understanding, Lord, that they will see you. That they, Lord, that there will be a grace to follow you, a grace to know you, Lord, a grace to walk in your ways, Lord. Lord, that they'll begin to discover those unsearchable riches. Lord, and the desire to follow God and to know God and to be hungry and to be thirsty for God. And Lord, we thank you tonight for that grace. We thank you for that release of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for just overwhelming, not just experiences, but truth, God, encounters with your truth. That Jesus, you override the facts in our lives that says we're going to die young and we're going to die sick and we're going to die like this and we're never going to make it like this. Lord, all those lies, Lord. Lord, we overpower them by your truth tonight in Jesus' name. There's somebody here with left ear infection and pain in your left ear. Where are you? We want to pray for you as well. Somebody there? Okay, just pray for him. Father, we just thank you for that release right now. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. And maybe if you're sick here, there's still any sickness in your body, why don't you just stand? We want to pray for you as well. You know, we just want to pray that God will heal you because Jesus still heals today. He still sets us free. Any sickness in your body, physically, stuff that's bothering you, and you know, he's still the same. He said, I am the healer. He cannot be somebody different than who he says he is, and he's going to heal you tonight. He's going to set you free. There's some people here that needs deliverance from demonic strongholds. You're imprisoned by addictions, by stuff like that. I want you to stand as well. We're going to somewhat just pray for you right where you're standing. We don't need an altar call to come to the front. We just need Jesus to touch you, and we're going to do that. We're going to pray, God, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a deliverer. Surround them with songs of deliverance. Why don't you just sing that chorus of a worship song as we're going to just minister to people. Maybe there's any other prayers that you need. Why don't you just stand? If you need somebody to come and pray for you, that's what church is about. It's not about a fancy sermon, but it's about meeting with Jesus. If you need prayer, you're overwhelmed with financial trouble or whatever, why don't you just to stand and then we're going to just pray for you. Thank you, God. Okay, somebody on this side that you need to make a massive decision. And God wants to just bless you. You're sort of on a road of decision that you need to make right now at this time in your life. Somebody like that. Just a word came. I know there at the back. There's somebody in front here as well. Hallelujah. There's still a lady in the middle. Have you been prayed for? John, will you just pray for her? Just show us if you need prayer. And we're going to come and pray for you.
Thank you for your
hallelujah. I want the rest of us, I want those people to bring the buckets to the front quickly. We're going to give you an opportunity just to experience Jesus. Also word here that certain people are just like really purposeless and you need a purpose in God, then you want prayer in that area.
It is your blood that washed me clean. It is
Hello, we're just preparing the place in front, and I want us to just see this moment as holy. And I want, especially for people here, maybe there's just one person here tonight, you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Him, and you're thinking, oh, these are wild people. You know, when you just maybe got in here and you think, oh, they clap their hands, whatever, and you just feel a little bit maybe even uncomfortable. You know, Jesus has set up this, and I don't want anybody, let's just stop here for a moment. Shh. I want everybody just to stop and stand still, because this is the most important moment of this weekend. You know, the only reaction in this life that we get a direct reaction in heaven is when one soul turns to Christ. And that is so important. That when somebody comes and there's maybe just one person here tonight that needs Jesus, then all the healing, all the other stuff must stop for that one moment when the angels want to rejoice in heaven. It's the only thing we can take with us into heaven is souls. The only thing we can do on this earth that we cannot do in heaven except sin is to lead somebody to Christ. And so I want us just to quickly, just everybody, just close your eyes. Maybe there's just one person here that needs Jesus. But I'm talking about a real Jesus, the one who claims certain claims on your life and on my life. The one who makes certain demands on you and certain demands on me. The one who says, I want you to look me in the eyes. I want you to see the fire in my eyes that I have for you. I want you to know that I've shed my blood for you. On the cross of Calvary, so that you can be free, so that you can walk free from the lies and the world and the sin in your life. I want to set you free. Is there anybody like that tonight? I want you to lift your hand up straight. Thank you. Anybody else? You're here tonight and you need to meet with the real Jesus. But you need to give Him your whole heart. You need to give Him everything. Is there anybody else tonight? I want you to raise your hand very high. So that's me. Maybe you're backslidden and you need to come back to Him. You need to surrender to Him again. And just quickly raise your hand if that's you. You're a backslidden Christian and you've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, believers are praying. Then tonight, there's a moment, chance, a time of salvation where He's going to change you. You cannot change yourself. Anybody else tonight? First opportunity. Just quickly raise your hand. I want that guy who raised their hand, I want you to come to me. I want to pray for you specifically as we're going to finish. Now what are we going to do? If there's anybody else that needs salvation, I want you to come to the two of them. If you need prayer for salvation or to get them to know them, Jamie Lee, then I want you to come to them. I want you to walk straight up from your chair and I want you to go to them. And I want you to say, I need Jesus, okay? You cannot go out of those doors because He has got a claim on your life. He paid for your life. You don't even have a claim on your own life. You didn't pay for your life. He gave Himself so that you can live. And we can just respond to that and say, yes, God. So if there's anybody like that, you're backslidden and you were a bit afraid to raise your hand, and I want you to come to one of them. Now, what are we going to do for the rest, especially those people that are in a hurry? You need to get somewhere. You still got an appointment somewhere. I want to just give them an opportunity to come out quickly first, because we're going to just pray over you. We're not going to make a long scene over that. We're going to just wash your feet, okay? And we're going to trust God, and we want to wash everybody's feet, okay? If you feel uncomfortable and you don't want us to do that, then that is fine. They just sit there and just don't come to the front, or just, you know, just enjoy the moment. No pressure. We're going to trust God is going to do something in your heart. You know, it's very humbling to receive from somebody else. Peter said, no, you can't do that. Jesus, you can't wash my feet. Jesus said, but if I don't do this, you don't have any part in me. Because I want to show you what's in my heart for you. We're going to trust God that that's going to do. So if you need to be out here quickly, won't you just come to the front first? Quickly come. If you, there's no shame if you need to be out here, if you're really in a hurry. And then we're going to just start from this side and this side. You just come and sit in front. And we're going to just, maybe we can do the second row here as well. And we're going to just wash. And we're going to just pray over you that Jesus will reveal himself while the rest of us are going to worship God. Amen. So quickly, let's start here from this side. We're going to go up there. And if you need to be, if you're in a bit of a rush, won't you come right to the front? Then obviously you need to take off your shoes. It's a good thing. Otherwise, you're going to walk in water for the rest of the evening. Okay? And we just want to bless you. And we want to just pray God's grace. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we want to release people tonight into the grace of Jesus, into the unsearchable riches of who you really are. We pray that through this, Lord, tonight you'll reveal yourself in a new way, like you revealed yourself to your disciples. And Lord, that you will break every yoke of slavery and every yoke, Lord, of lies and stuff, Lord, that are holding people back from just knowing you, God. And we thank you for that tonight as we celebrate your people, God, as we celebrate your truth over them. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Is this nog twee emmers? Wil jy nie sommer daar nie tweede ry vat nie? Okay, we need some of the ladies, maybe even from the congregation. We haven't got some of the girls there. Some of the ladies. They can wash ladies' feet. Preferably the guys must wash guys' feet. Amen. And ladies' feet. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, guys, let's worship. The rest of you can stand. And even if you've got a need, then won't you just share it with somebody as we come, because we're not just washing your feet, we're praying for you. Thank you, Jesus.